Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds, and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance, and dental care. This is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. Because your pet health matters. Please welcome your pet doctor host, veterinary media consultant, and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Hello, you're listening to The Pet Doctor on PetLifeRadio.com. I'm your host, Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Today's guests are Simon Brody, CEO of Allerga Lifestyle Pets. If you've always wanted a cat, but just the thought of one starts you sneezing and itching all over, keep listening. Or maybe you'd love to own a dog, but your daily routine doesn't provide you the time you need to properly care for one. Marlena Cervantes of Flex Pets may have the answer for you. But if you already have a pet in your life, winter can pose some unique challenges for them. The following health tips are from Veterinary News Network, the online veterinarian-based site for reliable pet care information. According to VNN, keeping your pet safe during the winter season may take a little extra planning and preparation. A common poisoning of pets during the winter months is car antifreeze. Its pleasant sweet taste masks a deadly poison. If you even suspect that your pet has consumed antifreeze, contact your veterinarian or nearest emergency hospital immediately. Ice melting products are also very dangerous. Pets can suffer the effects of frostbite and hypothermia just as easily as their owners. If your pet must stay outside, be sure to provide them shelter from the wind and moisture. In this case, bigger is not better. Smaller shelters actually trap body heat more efficiently. Use heated water bowls and replenish every day if freezing is a concern in your area. Know your pet's limitations during this season. Older dogs may not be as sure-footed on the ice, and younger puppies may not have enough body fat to keep them warm in the snow. Wintertime can be glorious and full of family fun. It doesn't have to involve a trip to the animal emergency room if a few simple precautions are taken. Talk to your family veterinarian about a winter checkup for your pet. For more health tips, go to myvnn.com. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Doc. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Pets are part of the family, and when traveling with your dog, there's only one magazine to include when packing your doggy's duffel bag, and that's Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each bi-monthly issue includes hotel, city and state reviews, and doggy destinations to explore with your furry companion. Fido Friendly magazine can be found at Borders, Barnes & Noble, PetSmart, Pet Boutiques, and Fido Friendly hotels nationwide. Or you can go online to subscribe at www.FidoFriendly.com. So get traveling with your pet today and leave no dog behind. And remember, Fido Friendly's the only magazine dedicated to the travel lifestyle of man's best friend and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
So today we're speaking with Simon Brody of Allerga Lifestyle Pets. And Simon, I have to admit, though I'm a veterinarian, I'm allergic to cats and dogs. But I had the opportunity several months ago to play with one of your cats, Joshua. And I didn't sneeze and itch or have any problems. What is a lifestyle pet?
Well, the concept of a lifestyle pet really came to me a few years ago. And it really revolved around looking at how we could take advances in scientific technology such as genetics and use those to modify an existing animal, pet, so that it would really fit within today's lifestyles. I mean, that's the tagline, so to speak. And so the first project that we looked at many of them. Some of them are weird and wonderful, but the first one that really caught our attention was the development of a true hypoallergenic cat. And we felt that was the first, what we would term, lifestyle pet. So we were able to then look at how we might be able to use genetic technologies. The cause behind what causes people to be allergic in a cat was well known. And so we felt that science had advanced enough that we could look at producing, you know, a genuine hypoallergenic cat. And really, until we successfully produced it, beginning 2006, until that time, there really weren't many options.
A lot of people think that a furless cat is going to be hypoallergenic, or some people are allergic to domestic short hairs, but for instance, not to Siamese. So how is this a hypoallergenic cat? What makes it hypoallergenic?
Yeah, there's many misconceptions, unfortunately, out there when it comes to cats and cats' allergies. So let me just explain briefly, what are people really allergic to? What they're really allergic to in cats is a protein that the cat produces through its skin, in its saliva, and in its urine. And so what's interesting is that, you know, you speak to a lot of people and they will tell you that they are allergic to dander, which is a sort of a very generic term. They'll tell you that they are allergic to cat hair, and in fact they're not allergic to cat hair, they happen to be allergic to this very sticky protein that remains on cat hair, and of course cats shed all the time. Interestingly, you mentioned the hairless cat. I've actually spoken to a number of people who have become clients who thought that because they were allergic to hair, cat hair, that the hairless cat would be ideal for them. And in fact, it's they're very sweet cats, very unusual. I actually like them very much. But they're actually the worst cat you can have if you're allergic, because if anything, the hair on a regular cat would act as a barrier. If anything, it traps some of that protein that the cat's produced. And of course, the hairless cat has no barrier, so to speak. And if you've ever picked up a hairless cat, it feels slightly greasy. So what people are allergic to is this protein, and all cats produce protein. Now, some may produce a little bit more than others, but really it has no immediate effect. What it has is a long-term effect, because that protein is very persistent, it's very sticky, and so even if you had a cat that produced less of the protein, over time it's simply going to build up and build up and build up in your home environment, at which time it's going to reach a threshold that if you are allergic, you're going to react. So that's really, in a nutshell, what people are really allergic to.
Does the protein vary from breed to breed, for instance?
No, from what we've seen, the protein is identical. So regardless of the breed, the protein is identical. And what we did originally, again, the protein is produced by a gene. And you know, looking at it from a non-technical point of view, a gene is the recipe. A gene is nature's recipe to produce a protein, a certain variant of a protein. And so originally, when we first started to look at producing our first lifestyle pet, the hypoallergenic cat, we looked at using advanced genetic techniques to essentially disrupt that protein. In other words, change the recipe. And by changing the recipe, we aimed to produce a different flavor of the protein, if you want to call it. And so that's what we started to look at. But at the same time, nature itself will produce mutations. We as human beings, everybody has, you know, unique mutations. And so we were aware that somewhere out there, there were going to be cats that had a naturally occurring mutation to that gene. And having done a lot of press initially then, that when we announced this project, we then had a couple of people approach us and say, look, we're all allergic at home, but we have a cat or cats here that we don't react to. And so we had developed some very sophisticated genetic tests to look at the gene and see if there was a variation. And when we tested these particular cats, lo and behold, they did have a natural occurring mutation. So we took those founder cats, of which Joshua, the one that you mentioned, was one of them. We bred those with domestic short hairs, and fortunately that genetic mutation was dominant and it transferred into the kittens. And so the cats that we produce, this different flavor of protein, we believe, and we've seen that the body doesn't recognize it as an allergen. And so even though the cats are still producing a protein, the body is simply not reacting, which is essentially what happened to you when you, you know, spent time with, you know, one of our cats.
With this new flavor of kitty, it sounds as though there was no genetic engineering, because people are very concerned about, genetic mutations. You did something to the cat. This cat's going to have other medical problems. Is that true? I mean, you just found there were cats out there with this normally occurring divergence, and you just recognized them. You located them.
Well, that's correct. You know, and you know, people sometimes say, well, that's like winning in the lottery. But in fact, not really, because we had obviously put out that we were going to develop this cat, and there was huge media interest. But at the same time, we developed this sophisticated test that would allow us to pinpoint any mutation. So to answer your question, these are, you know, naturally occurring mutations. They are naturally occurring cats, so to speak. And, you know, I guess the big difference between what we are doing and what cat breeders have been doing for hundreds of years is that, you know, these various cat breeds have simply been developed where a kitten may be born with, you know, a slightly longer tail or a bushier tail or bigger ears or whatever it might be. Those are visible mutations, which then breeders have taken and bred from that line. What we've been able to do is to use genetic noise to look, shall we say, inside the cat and say, well, there's a trait that we want to, you know, use as a foundation and, you know, breed into the next generations of cats.
Are there other factors other than this unique protein that makes people allergic to cats?
No. I mean, the cats do have, cats actually have four allergens. They're known as FLD1 through FLD4. FLD1 is the big nasty one. FLD1 is the one that most people react to. Now, we have seen the occasional, you know, sniffy, you know, runny nose and watery eyes, very, very mild in our customers and a couple of them when they first got the cats. And therefore, we're presuming they're reacting to FLD2, 3, or 4, what we call the minor allergens. But just by being exposed to them, they desensitize themselves really quickly. And I'm talking about people who are literally off the charts when we test them for cat allergies. So these are extremely allergic people. So, you know, there is, of course, you know, our cats have a naturally occurring mutation. I always tell our customers that, you know, you might have a naturally occurring mutation that makes you the perfect candidate to react to this different protein. But, you know, so far we've had, you know, we've had great response. We've delivered over 100 kittens, and, you know, we delivered 30 in December alone. We're really ramping up deliveries, and, you know, we've had great, great results and amazing, you know, amazing response from our customers who, you know, see this as the only way that they and their family can own a cat.
What do these kitties look like? Because I know I've seen Joshua, and you look at this cat thinking, oh, you're going to see something really unique and different, going, looks like a cat to me.
They are. I mean, we've crossed these foundation cats, as we call them, with domestic short hairs, which are very, shall we say, cat-looking cats. They're tabbies, stripes, and so on. And so the offspring has turned out to be very ordinary. You wouldn't know it was a hypoallergenic cat in any way unless somebody told you. So, you know, they are very, very ordinary cats. We chose the American Shorthair because they are very rugged. They don't have some of the potential problems that the, shall we say, the high-end types of, you know, high-end breeds that have been bred in over, you know, many centuries. We didn't really want to introduce anything that might become an issue. And so far we've had great success and very healthy kittens.
When I had the chance to play with Joshua, I was so impressed because this little kitty was involved in a media tour. And here is this cat being exposed to tons of different people, being handled, being played with, and had such a fantastic personality. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about how these kitties are bred and socialized before they get them?
Well, it's actually very, very important what you've just mentioned. I think that, you know, people look at the price of the hypogenic cats and sometimes they're taken a little bit aback. But to us, it was much more than let's just produce a cat and, you know, send it to a customer and have the customer be on their way. First of all, most, I would say 95% of our customers obviously have never owned a kitten before. So we had to ensure that we were going to put a complete system of support in place. And that really started with not only breeding healthy kittens, but making sure that they were very well socialized. And so the socialization program, which was developed by a very well-known animal behaviorist, really centers around the kittens being exposed to a lot of different scenarios, which primarily means being handled by different people, being played with by lots of different people. And so ensuring that when a customer receives their kitten, that the customer isn't just the second person that the kitten's ever seen. I mean, there's some great breeders who breed kittens at home, but often the problem is that the only person that kitten's ever seen is the breeder. And when it goes into a new home, it's a little bit traumatized. And so our cats go through this fantastic socialization program. They are very well taken care of. And in fact, I had a customer from New York call me a couple of days after we delivered a cat, and he was convinced that we had trained his cat because it was so sociable, and got on so well. So in addition to the socialization, making sure that, you know, we have friendly cats, we also wanted to ensure that we provided as much support, and so came up with a very, very unique set of concepts. For example, we provide a year's worth of veterinary insurance. Again, our cats are expensive, and if something does happen to them, you know, they are kittens. Kittens, you know, it's a live animal. Anything can happen to them. We wanted to make sure that, if there was a multi-$1,000 vet bill, that our customer wasn't going to be lumbered with that. So we include that. Of course, when the customer receives the kitten, they're spayed and neutered, which is not only the right thing to do.
Perfect.
They're also fully vaccinated. They're microchipped. And again, we didn't want a customer getting their kitten and then having to drag it out to, you know, a veterinary clinic 2 days later to be spayed or neutered and microchipped and vaccinated and so on and so on and so on. So we've really tried to put together a complete package, if you want to call it, so that when the customer receives the hypogenic kitten and any of our pets, that there is this complete peace of mind, that they're ready to go and bond with this kitten, allow the kitten to become part of the family, and not to have to worry about, you know, what else do I need to do.
What happens if somebody adopts a cat? They've never had one before because they're so terribly allergic, and they go, I guess I'm not allergic to it, but I really don't want this kitten. Then what happens?
No, we've actually had it once before. This very nice customer, you know, they had never had a cat. They liked the idea of the cat. And, you know, as it turned out, they were not allergic to the they were allergic to cats. Of course, they had no reaction to our cat. What I think they were is more, shall we say, allergic to the idea of cat ownership. It wasn't quite what they expected. And so what we simply did, funny enough, they got in the car and drove to a very happy customer that lived 30 minutes down the road, a waiting customer who was very surprised and pleased to get their kitten early. And of course, we refunded the customer in full. And that's bound to happen. We have quite a long waiting list, anywhere from 6 to 12 months. In the past, it's been even longer. And, you know, we know that circumstances can change. And when it's changed, you know, we've been happy to, cancel that order and, refund the customer the purchase price, because there's always somebody out there ready and willing to take on that kitten.
Is it possible for the prospective cat owner to personally choose which cat they're going to get? For instance, I want a cat that is a little tiger kitty with little white paws and a little white chest.
It is possible. Now, in the early days, we were producing so few of these kittens that really we didn't give customers the option because it would be, you know, be unfair to them. We were just never going to match up. What we do now is about 2 weeks before delivery, as we have a number of kittens ready to go out, those are matched with the same number of people on our waiting list, and we will get on the phone, literally sit on the phone while we email pictures and say, look, this is what we have right now. You can see pictures. And most of our customers, I would say three quarters, really are not that fussy. They're just very keen to get a kitten. Just in the last batch of, I think it was 9 kittens that we shipped out, one of our customers really didn't fancy any of the kittens, was looking for something very specific. And of course, she will get then the first choice of, you know, the next 20 or so kittens that are coming through in the next few weeks. So, you know, we try to be as, as accommodating as possible. But of course, if somebody wants something very, very specific, we make them aware that they may have to wait a long time.
What age are these kittens delivered, and how are they delivered?
Well, they're delivered anywhere from 10 to 12 weeks whenever our veterinarian feels that they are ready to go. We use the major airline carriers, and that's proven to be very, very successful. We make sure that our customers are waiting at the airline. They get picked up, and they're ready to go. And the reality, you know, we tend to go direct flights, and the kittens are only here through the transport process for just a few hours. And they come out, and again, I've had many, many stories of how the kittens come home, and they're you know, happy. They're all over the place. And again, that comes down, I think, a little bit to the socialization as well.
Well, Simon, you've mentioned several times that this is definitely an investment in a pet. How much do these Alerka lifestyle pets cost?
Well, the cat that we're talking about is what we call the Alerka GD, and GD is short for genetically divergent, and that really is the first lifestyle pet that we came out with. Now, we also ran a survey on our website for quite a long time, I think still there, where we asked people, you know, what would you like the next kitten to be? And there was a slant towards what I call the exotic, the Asian type cat. And so we have produced a hypoallergenic version of the Siamese, which we call the Shakan GD. And then at the same time, about 6-7 months ago, we launched our first non-hypoallergenic lifestyle pet called the Ashira. Now, the Ashira is interesting because it's a hybrid. The hybrid, it's a cross between an African serval, Asian leopard cat, and a domestic cat. And essentially what that comes out with is what a lot of people have always wished for, which is a beautiful kitten, a beautiful cat that grows up to almost 30 pounds, that has the looks and stripes of a sort of a leopard, very, very friendly, very, very affectionate. And just recently, we produced a hypoallergenic version. So our basic Alerka GD is $6,000. The Shakan runs about $9,000. The Ashira is actually $22,000. And the hypoallergenic version of the Ashira is $27,000. What I can tell you is that we are sold out on the high-end cats, the Ashiras, especially the hypoallergenic versions, for the whole of 2008. We sold 9 over one weekend. So although the price sometimes shocks people a little bit, you know, these hybrids are very exotic, very unique. And although we're not the first to produce a hybrid, we believe that we are the first to really standardize on, you know, these beautiful, large, exotic hybrids. So there is a complete range. We also have the Jabari, which is our first hypoallergenic dog, a real hypoallergenic dog. There's a lot of these labradoodles and so on, which, you know, people are allergic will tell you they've tried and simply don't work. And they will be available in 2009, priced at $15,000. And again, we have a pretty long waiting list for those.
And Simon, if somebody wanted more information about the Ashira or your GD cats, dogs, these hypoallergenic animals, where can they go?
Well, we have two websites in the process of bringing everything together, but they can go to alerka.com. That's A-L-L-E-R-C-A.com. Right now shows a lot of information about the hypoallergenic cats. If you go to lifestylepets.com, that's P-E-T-S.com, you'll see some fantastic images on the Ashira. And in the next few weeks, we're actually blending those two websites together. And of course, you know, this is a big decision. We are always available and spend a long time on the phone with many of our customers, but it is unique. They do work, and, you know, we expect to have a number of very interesting lifestyle pets coming out in the next year, including a very, very small cat, that fully grown, we expect it not to reach more than about a pound.
So it's a pocket kitty.
Pocket kitty. There you go. But again, either people want the really, really large cats, or, you know, everybody likes the idea, or many people like the idea of a cat that's really going to grow no bigger than a kitten. So that's an interest, and that's still working on that, but I think 2009 we should see that coming out.
Well, my guest has been Simon Brody, the CEO of Alerka Lifestyle Pets. If you want the huge, fantastic-looking Ashira cat, hypoallergenic, or they're working on the kitten that will always be the kitten, this is definitely the pet for you. But if you want that dog but just don't have the lifestyle time and effort to put into it, you may want to just continue listening, because we're going to be speaking to Marlena Cervantes of Flex Pet at a very interesting way of owning a dog. Stay tuned.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Having a rough day? Longing for the dog days of summer? Think your fun furry friend lives a dog's life? Well, find out everything you're begging to know as Pet Life Radio presents It's a Doggy Dog World with pet expert and award-winning author Liz Palaika. Every dog has his day, and you'll find out how to make your dog's day fun and rewarding every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet Magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent!
Pet Planet Magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
Well, we just heard from Simon Brody of Alerka Lifestyle Pets. And if you always wanted a cat, but you were allergic to it, that's the way to go. But what if you want a dog and your lifestyle just isn't seeming to be appropriate for it? Well, Marlena Cervantes of Flex Pets, I think, has the answer for us. Marlena, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
How did you come up with the idea of Flex Pet? Tell people a little bit about it, please.
Sure. I was working as a behavior therapist at the time for children with autism, and I developed this idea as a way to share my dog with my therapy certified dog with my clients' families who had expressed desire to own a dog full-time, but the inability to do so because of the understanding that owning a dog would be for selfish reasons and not really in the dog's best interest. So that's how I actually came up with the idea, and just the word of mouth generated a huge waiting list for the service. So that's when I launched my business in San Diego in April of last year. And we were so popular, the buzz was so huge that we opened our second location in June in Los Angeles and New York by October. So we've been pretty, pretty fortunate, very successful, and it's been proven to be very, very popular.
It's just a wonderful idea where you have all the benefits of having a dog, but you don't have some of the downsides.
how do you screen the potential dog owner or the dog leaser, I guess you'd want to call them?
Well, we look at it as a shared ownership program. So basically, we do require a one-year minimum commitment from all of our members. They come into the program. We talk to them over the phone, ask them basic questions about their history with dogs, and we want to make sure that Flex Pets is for them. We find out if they're absolutely sure that full-time ownership is not possible. So once we decide and we agree that Flex Pets is for them, then we arrange a time to meet in person in the presence of our certified dog trainers. And they'll meet some of our Flex Pets dogs that are in their local area. And we make sure that the individuals demonstrate they're going to be kind and responsible with their dogs. They're eager to learn all about our dogs' personal histories and about the commands that they've been trained to understand. And then they would receive maybe a week or two later a notice that welcomes them to Flex Pets and says, you know, we really like you and welcome to our family. And it gives them instructions on how to proceed with reserving time with a dog.
So if somebody has never owned a dog before, you will kind of work them through what they'll need to do. Is that correct?
That's correct. We work them through the basics of, you know, the do's and don'ts of responsible dog ownership.
So, Marlena, you go ahead and you train the person who is going to be part of this shared ownership. Where do these dogs come from? What type of training do the dogs have?
Well, originally, I had started with the model of seeking breed-specific rescues because once I was connected with the dog, I had a good amount of information on the dog. You know, the breed-specific rescues tend to do a really good screening process on the dogs. They can tell you whether they're good around children, other cats, other animals, things like that. So that was the original model that we started with. Since our name has been out there and so many people have heard about us, people who have dogs in their backyards who either their children have outgrown or for whatever reason their circumstances have changed and they can no longer care for the dog properly have actually contacted us and said, you know, we have this dog. We love it too much to give it over to a shelter, but, you know, now that we heard that Flex Pets exists, we'd love for you to have our dog. Our dog is so loving, loves everyone, is extremely social, but just doesn't get the attention that he or she deserves. And so now we have a huge number of owner surrenders that we've actually incorporated into the program. So we'll do our own form of screening process as well. We want to make sure that we screen them for temperament, want to make sure they're good around children, other dogs. You know, we test them for a variety of things, and then we incorporate them into our program. And we also, you know, we let them spend a few weeks in a doggy daycare setting because that is the environment where they live day to day when they're not out with members. So we want to make sure that they're going to fit into a pack environment nicely and that they're not owner dependent or skittish or demonstrate any signs like that.
That's a great idea. So you're screening the people, you're screening the dogs. It sounds as though the dogs are in a country club kind of setting where they have all sorts of other little friends to play with. They're not in a shelter situation where so many of these dogs, the owner relinquishment otherwise would have gone to these shelters. Are there a lot of different breeds that people can choose from? Or, it's, you know, say I've always wanted a little dog, but gee, I don't know. So do you have little ones, big ones, all these different ones for them to choose from?
Yes, we do have a large variety of dogs, and it really just depends on the dogs that we are connected with at the time. We do perform surveys in each regional area before we adopt dogs and send them to that specific location. We want to make sure that before we send a dog to New York or a dog to California, that there actually is a demand there, that there are people who want to spend time with a large Labrador or people you spend time with a small toy, miniature pincher. So, and that's really how we work it out, and we find out where the demand is, because we never want our dogs just sitting around just, you know, hoping that somebody's going to come and take them out for the weekend. We really want to make sure that there is a demand demonstrated before we actually send them to a specific location. But yes, absolutely. To go back to answering your question, a number of families have actually joined Flex Pets as a way to figure out before they make that commitment and bring a pet into their family, they want to make sure that it's going to be a good fit. So they will come into Flex Pets and say, listen, my wife loves the toy breeds. I've grown up around, you know, with large breeds my entire life. So we're joining Flex Pets as a compromise, and we'd like to take out a few different dogs and see what's really going to be a good fit for our family. So, and that's really interesting because very, very important component of our program is that the adoption all of our dogs are up for adoption to our members when they can demonstrate that their situations have changed or they are capable and willing to own their dogs full time. So that makes it fantastic because we know that this process increases the likelihood that when our dogs find a permanent home, it's going to be a forever home.
Marlena, this is just so wonderful because so many times clients will come into my practice saying, you know, I've always wanted that small breed, and exactly, the husband wants the big one, etc., and trying to compromise, and they get a dog and they bring it home going, oh, huh, we're now kind of stuck with it because we know adopting a pet is adopting it for life. And this way, it's kind of like taking that test drive of a car. You can try all these various dogs out instead of trying your cars out. Is it hard for dogs? Because I know dogs really like routines. Is it difficult for them going from one house to another house? How do you make sure that the dog is not getting stressed out from all the change?
The screening process definitely aids in that because our dogs, the personalities tend to be very strong, very independent, very social, and they live in this pack environment for the majority of the week. So when the members do come out, and what we're finding is that they tend to take out dogs, they'll pick them up on a Friday, bring them back on a Saturday or Sunday. So it's really like going out with, you know, a fun aunt and uncle for the weekend. they really love it. And we always make sure that the dogs have, you know, our members are greeted with wet noses and wagging tails, and the dogs are eager and anxious to go out. If they show that, you know, no, I kind of want to stay in the doggy daycare center, where we're just like, well, you know, let's maybe, do you want to think of another dog to spend the weekend with? We make sure that the dogs are happy and that they are always anxious to go out with our members. It's never anything that's forced upon them.
So here I am. I am going to be a shared dog owner, and I go and I pick out my dog. Now, I probably don't have the food, the bed, all the toys, etc., that a full-time dog owner would have. So how do I address that? Or how do you address that?
That's a great question. We set all of our members up for success. Once members have passed the screening process and we've welcomed them to our Flex Pet family, they then receive a welcome package in the mail, which includes a fluffy doggy bed. That's the same all of the members receive. So anywhere they go, they have this fluffy doggy bed to refer to. We give them 2 stainless steel dog bowls, leashes, chew toys, doggy bags, bio bags, everything that they could possibly need for a successful, fun visit. And any time that a dog is going to be out with a member, we give them prepackaged, pre-measured foods for consistency of diet as well. So we put a lot of care and a lot of attention into maintaining consistency across households and across members.
So I want to take a dog home for a weekend, and it's lots of fun, but now maybe I want to go traveling. Because I want to go to the mountains and take this dog and go hiking and having a good time. Can I do that also with one of these rent-a-dogs?
Yes, you could definitely take out your shared dog on a vacation. We do have a maximum of 7 days. So as long as it's under that period of time, definitely that is a possibility. Our dogs are all equipped with GPS tracking devices on their collars, and they also incorporate a temperature control sensor. So we know that the dogs are wearing it at all times, and this gives us that sense of security, knowing that if the dog and the member were ever separated, we could locate that dog's position within 6 feet anywhere on the planet.
That is fantastic. I wish all dogs and cats had something like that, because too many times they will get lost. Other problems besides getting lost may be, oops, all of a sudden for things happen, a dog becomes ill. Now what does a shared dog owner do with that pet?
They receive a set of instructions that has the information for the local veterinarian and emergency procedures. Definitely, we assume all financial responsibility for the dogs. It really is worry-free pet ownership, because if any time a dog becomes ill, we take the responsibility to take the dog to the veterinarian clinic and make sure that the dog receives all the proper medical attention required. And we also financially take on responsibility for that as well.
You'd mentioned that you're in a couple different cities. You started in San Diego and Los Angeles. Where else are you located throughout the United States?
We have a number of planned locations at this time, including Boston, Washington, D.C., San Francisco. And our first international location is opening by spring, and we're really excited about that. That's in London.
Very nice. Now, being based in San Diego, I was reading on your website that with our recent wildfires that we had in San Diego, Flex Pets also got involved in that. Can you tell us a little bit about what you did?
Sure. You're referring to Operation Stopgap, and that was an effort launched to aid in the relocation of dogs who may have become homeless during the disaster.
With this Operation Stopgap, did you have a lot of people using your service? Was there a charge for these people?
No. The effort was absolutely free. It was an effort to assist in the relocation for the dogs. And actually, the people that did contact me actually found homes and were assisted with their own family relocation, and they were suitable environments for dogs to keep their dogs as well. So there was a lot of positive stories and a lot of positive endings to those unfortunate situations. So we were really glad to just offer an alternative solution just in case, in the event that, you know, dogs may have been left homeless, because we certainly have the resources to, you know, probably care for dogs who may have ended up homeless as a result.
That is just wonderful. Flex Pet sounds like such a great idea. Are there any chance that you may be doing a Flex Cat in the future?
No. Only dogs.
Only dogs. All right. Well, I think it is a little harder to get kitties into a new environment. It just doesn't seem to be part of their personality. If somebody's interested in becoming a owner or a part-time owner of a dog through Flex Pets, where can they get some more information?
Visiting our website at Flex Pets, it's spelled FlexPetz.com. Definitely contact us and you will receive a response within 5 business days.
And what's the fee associated with becoming a member of Flex Pets?
Initial sign-up is about $299 for the entire year. That does include the screening 1-hour required getting to know you session with the certified dog trainer, and it also includes the welcome package that you will receive upon activation. And you're never charged before we meet face-to-face and have actually formally approved the membership. So there's never any charge assessed before that. And there is a monthly membership fee.
And what is the daily rental fee for this dog?
Daily dog usage time. We charge daily rates. There's no hourly rate. It's a daily flat rate, and it varies from city to city. There's, I think, a $10 difference between the weekdays and weekends.
And big dog, little dog, the same fee?
No. Yes, one standard rate.
And all of a sudden, I want a dog, but, okay, I still have that busy schedule. Do I have to go someplace to pick it up, or is a dog delivered to me?
Yes, we do have a doggy shuttle service, and so if it's more convenient for the member to have the dog delivered to their home, then we can certainly provide that with arrangements.
Well, we've been talking to Marlena Cervantes of Flex Pets, and which is a great way of finding out whether or not you really want a dog, what kind of dog you may want in your family. You can take it out for a test drive, so to speak, or a test walk and see how it fits in with your family, or if your schedule just doesn't allow you to have that dog 24/7, but you want to have something to snuggle up with at night or for a weekend, this may be the answer for you. So you can go to flexpets.com and learn more about it. You've been listening to Pet Life Radio. I am Dr. Bernadine Cruz, the Pet Doctor. If you have any questions, probably the best person to ask is always going to be your own personal veterinarian. But if you want a second opinion, please feel free to contact me at thepetdoctor@petliferadio.com. Thanks so much for listening. Check back again next week and see what we're going to be chatting about then. Take care. Bye-bye.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Because they're a member of the family, keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. On demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.